Tonight, we debut a new segment, the Budget Crisis Corner. Then later, we get some bonus music as Vicki Emerson Wallace performs in studio. And finally, it's Friday night, so we'll of course once again play What's in the Box and get a weekend windup. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us Pretty Late. It is Friday night, and we are starting something a little bit new. I wanted to maybe have intro music for this, Craig, but then I realized it's not something to celebrate. That would make it seem kind of festive. As I think most people know, and we have listeners all over the world, by the way, so maybe a quick summary. For the last 2 years, the state of Illinois has operated without a budget, and we've gone down to Springfield, tried to observe and learn, and I decided it was time to start having legislators here on the show. We've invited one Democrat, Representative Sarah Feigenholz, and one Republican, Representative John Anthony, and we are so grateful that you're here. And but let's start off with something that I know you can both agree on. We're very excited about the Cubs. I was watching the video highlights. It's very exciting.
And, go Cubbies.
Yeah. Oh, how, by the way, Representative Anthony, as someone who represents the, I would say, southwest areas of Chicago, outside of Chicago, Joliet.
Don't ask me why I'm not a white
guy. I'm not asking you why. How was the reception to your Cubs fandom?
Oh, they love it. There are tons of Cub fans down in the Joliet Morris area.
I could see that.
Actually, there's a radio host, Kevin Schramm. Down in Morris, who's a big Cub fan. Huge Cub fan.
And Representative Feigenholz, I'm guessing lifelong Cubs fan as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have Wrigley Field in my district and have forever.
Forever?
Forever.
For as long as you've been a rep.
Every time I'm in the map room, I lay on top of Wrigley Field and Boys Town and say, okay, don't touch it.
That's got to be awkward.
Let's not forget I'm from Chicago.
I won't forget.
Just right down the road here.
Well, let's start there then. I didn't get a chance to flip a coin, but because Representative Feigenholz has been here before and you have not, Representative Anthony. No. Yes. I'm not giving you a hard time. Not just because you blew me off for a good solid 6 months.
It was more like a year.
But it has been. I've gone back and looked at the messages. Representative Feigenholz, I'm going to give you the choice. Would you like Representative Anthony to introduce himself to our audience first, or would you like to?
I'm a gentleman.
I think I'd say youth before beauty.
Oh, see, this is starting off very well.
This is why we love each other.
Now, we're actually thick as thieves.
Yes, we are.
Well, and that was the reception I got from both of you when I invited you and said that the other would be on. So for our listeners who are not familiar with your background and the area you represent, please introduce yourself.
Well, my name is John Anthony. I'm the state representative for the 75th Legislative District, which encompasses Kendall, Grundy, Will, and LaSalle counties. I live in Joliet, but I'm originally right down the road here. I was born in Cabrini Green Housing Projects. Went from there to 38th in Indiana, then basically grew up on 87th and Halsted, back and forth between Cabrini Green and some would say, how did I wind up in the Morris area as a state as a Republican state representative as well? Long story. We don't have time for that today. But I've really enjoyed my last 3 years down in the General Assembly. It's been interesting this last year and a half, maybe. But looking forward to and focused on coming up with a bipartisan solution to getting this budget done. That would be great if we can come to a bipartisan solution.
And what would you say is your political approach? What has been your perspective when it comes to social and economic, needs for the state?
Well, I think if you looked at my record since I've been there, especially a lot of the major legislation that has been passed in the House, it's the Democrat and then my name. I think one of the things that I've tried to do is go with an approach that's bipartisan in nature, because I'm a cop by trade and profession, and we don't just run into things blindly. So I spent my entire first year in the General Assembly watching, listening. I didn't say much. I didn't speak much on the floor. I was just watching who the power players were, what direction that the leaders of the different caucuses were trying to take the state. And I just watched and learned. And then because I did that, you had a lot of folks would come to me and say, hey, I need a bill and I need you to help me get this bill passed. So that's the framework and the mindset that I came into the General Assembly with. And I think a lot of my cop background helped with that. I have a lot of trainings. I'm a hostage negotiator, crisis negotiator.
Why didn't you use some of that on Tuesday?
Well, if they let me in the room.
Because the state is feeling a little held hostage at this point.
Well, see, sometimes if they let me in the room, I guarantee you, if the representative and I were you know, leading this charge, we'd have a budget. We would have had a budget May 31st.
We probably would have had a budget by opening day.
Oh, we definitely would have had one by opening day.
Well, there you go. The Two with Solutions, Representative Feigenholz, if you'll introduce yourself to our audience.
Patty, thanks, first of all, for having this amazing show, for having us on this show, and for being a concerned citizen who cares about what's going on in this state and wants other people to hear about it. It's very rare. And so I applaud you. I'm sure I speak for Representative Anthony. I am a veteran of the Illinois General Assembly, and I am an assistant majority leader now. I chaired the Human Services Appropriations Committee for a decade, and prior to that, the Human Services Substantive Committee. My district hugs the lake from Lawrence to Division, so I have the largest part of Lincoln Park. I have the largest single head of household, but I am in a relatively affluent district, but I also am very concerned about our city. It is my home. It's where I was born. I will never leave here. I will never leave Chicago. I don't know how people do it. I may go away for a month, you know, when I'm older. But and I care a lot about what's going on. I care a lot about what's going on in my city. And I care a lot about the schools, because I think that schools are the most important thing. And education, as you know, is the most important thing. And taking care of people who depend on us, like the elderly, the disabled, and people who are suffering from substance abuse and mental illness. So that's me. You know, I'm kind of a lot of people call me a liberal. Would you say that, John? Am I a liberal?
More progressive.
Okay, that's nice.
It's like he can't use the word.
Yeah.
Progressive. Yeah,
yeah. You know, but I am very pro-business. I'm very pragmatic. I have quite the entertainment district, quite the business district. And I'm very, very disheartened about what's going on in Springfield. So I'm happy to be here tonight, and I know that you are going to pepper us with questions and beat us bloody.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm brutal. There's fire, and take your shoes off.
You and your pigtails.
That's exactly right. Hashtag braids. We are starting our very first Budget Crisis Corner. Those are the representatives of our legislature, Representative Sarah Feigenholz, Representative John Anthony. We will be taking your texts and phone calls and putting them on the air probably after the 11:30 news. We're going to just have a conversation first, because I want you to know that these are men and women who really do believe in the work that they are doing. We talk about them in this sort of abstract way, and that they don't care, and the politicians in our state are corrupt, and they can't get anything done. Well, here we have human beings in our studio who really are working very hard, trying to find a solution, and we will talk to them in just a moment on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined tonight actually by my sidecar, one of our favorite guests here on Pretty Late, Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. He is everything geek, but also politics and religion. He's got a lot of thoughts on a lot of topics in the world.
Oh, yes.
I know, don't even get him started. But he's joining me in studio. He was scheduled, and I came up with this idea for the Budget Crisis Corner when I was in Springfield on Tuesday, I thought. And we've had this, we've kind of played with this idea for a while, Representative Feigenholz, to have several legislators in. Representative Anthony is his first time in the studio, and I'm really not teasing you about that. I'm grateful that you're here. I know it's a long drive. Yeah. You have come the farthest, I believe, of any of our guests that have joined us
in
the studio.
What's my prize?
What's your prize?
Yes.
We've got some food coming from Knife and Tine. Really good food. Yes, Craig?
That works for me.
Oh, no, sorry. I was trying to tell you in your ear that Rob needs to jump in. We have a breaking news.
Oh, we have breaking news.
Yeah, Patty, real quick, we'll have more details, of course, at 11:30. We've been reporting all night that boxing great Muhammad Ali has been in grave condition at a Phoenix area hospital dealing with respiratory issues. It's now being reported that Muhammad Ali has, in fact, died after experiencing those issues. He went into the hospital. Of course, the respiratory issues have been complicated by the fact that he has Parkinson's disease. So again, we'll have more at the bottom of the hour at 11:30 right here on WGN. But once again, Muhammad Ali has died. Patty?
Thank you very much. I'm so sorry to hear that. And we all in the studio, I think you immediately, whenever you see Muhammad Ali, whether it's footage or in the last few years when he would make appearances and receive honors, when he lit the torch at the yes. Olympics, was very moving. I think when as a kid growing up, for me, he always symbolized what courage and at all odds meant, sort of, and confidence, outrageous confidence.
Yeah, I agree.
And what are your thoughts, Representative Anthony?
Well, I was just telling when they filmed the movie Ali here, I was an extra when Will Smith was the actor for it. First mm-hmm. of all, we want to send condolences yes. to the family. I got a chance to meet Muhammad Ali during the filming of that. And he was such a strong guy
yeah.
mentally, and right. even though he was going through some of the issues he was going through. He was always a hero to the people where I grew up from because I mean, he came from nothing.
Right.
And became one of the greatest boxers of all time.
Yeah. I mean, that really was, I think, to so many people, what his career meant, right. what everything that he said, you know. And by the way, yes, Craig, did you want to say something?
I actually also met Muhammad Ali.
What?
I was a PA announcer for the South Bend Silverhawks, and we had the high school kids come out and play some of their championship games. And I guess one of his nephews was playing in one of these games. So I'm in the first inning. I'm doing the game, and I get a knock on my door, and someone goes, hey, can Muhammad Ali come and watch the game with you? He doesn't want to go sit out in the crowd. And I was like, yeah, sure, go ahead, send him Muhammad Ali. And then, boom, there he comes. He comes in with a few other people. He sat right next to me. I watched a baseball game with Muhammad Ali.
What?
Oh,
what?
It was amazing. Amazing.
That
just like we said a second ago, he is an incredible guy. The conversation was really cool. Mm-hmm. He was explaining to me some of the things that he thought about the way the game was. It was so wonderful.
Well, wasn't boxing so much more than when in the 70s and the 80s when you had, was it Sugar Ray Leonard and Muhammad Ali, George? Like, I saw when George Foreman came back?
Marvis Hagler.
Yes. Oh, my God. Marvin. Yeah. It was Mike Tyson Binks. Kind of the beginning of but the sort of ridiculousness of it. It became sort of a...
I think Roy Jones Jr. too
yeah.
was somebody that brought excitement to the game.
Yeah.
To boxing.
Yeah, I think that it was always in the 80s, we were still chasing the magic right. of Muhammad. Like, and not just, I mean, there were amazing boxers before them. But Muhammad Ali, I think, made it such a global thing for American boxers.
Yeah, I think people didn't really understand the struggle he endured. I think the movie Ali brought forth the struggle, and I think Will Smith did a great job
yeah.
of showing what that struggle was, especially when, you know, he didn't want to go and enter into the draft.
Right.
I mean, that was a huge aspect of his life, and it totally altered his whole boxing career.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a few days, I think, of reflecting on the career and the impact Muhammad Ali has had on all of us, both here in the United States and globally, what it means to be an athlete, what it means to be brave, what it means to have courage. I know that this is sort of a weird transition. We are having our very first budget crisis center. I almost feel like it needs to be a therapy session with everybody. And I'm glad that I'm starting with Representative Feigenholz and Representative Anthony because both of you, when I mentioned who was going to be here, you were grateful that it wasn't somebody else.
Yeah.
You didn't mention any names, but you were like, thankfully. I mean, there could be a lot of people, but can you write down names for me? By the way, who did we call last night, Craig? We do a wake-up call. You may at some point receive a call before 2 a.m. at some point. Hopefully you have your phone on silent when you go to bed at night because we do a call every night, and we realize this week it should be legislators. We're doing a wake-up call, and if anyone needs a wake-up call, it's the government of Illinois.
I'll be sure to keep my phone downstairs.
I do have many representatives and senators' numbers. We will definitely call some people that you like and perhaps maybe have conflict with. And speaking of conflict, a lot of the responses I get on Facebook and on our text screen and from callers, and Dan, we will get to you in just a moment, but I wanted to make sure we talk about how we got here. People don't want to – some people said they might not tune in because they're tired of empty promises and hearing the same thing over and over again. But again, I'm partly trying to humanize this, that you know there are people, you know, that people are suffering.
Yes.
But I want my listeners to know that there are people working toward a solution. So Representative Feigenholz, you said you wanted to talk to us a little bit about how we got here.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that there's the facts, and then there's how people feel and the perception of things. And one of the things that I obviously, you know, this is an unprecedented thing that's going on in Illinois. I think that historically in the United States, in all 50 states, we've never seen anything like this. In just his first year in office, the governor used his total veto power to essentially veto the whole budget. except for K through 12. For schools.
Because he has the ability to line item.
Correct. He did not do that. So he kind of left a lot of the rest of the budget hanging out to dry, wouldn't you say? Healthcare, hospitals, child care, schools, higher education.
Right.
You know, so what happened was there were a lot of people who ran to court and, for instance, Medicaid, which is the lion's share of the budget, takes care of the poor. Our parents and grandparents in nursing homes, the disabled, anything that has a federal match is under the rubric of that.
Right.
And people went to court and opened an old lawsuit called the Memosofsky lawsuit. And the courts basically told the governor, pay the Medicaid bills.
So even without a budget that has been passed, the bills all have to be paid without any sort of cap on it because a budget hasn't been approved.
Well,
it's just whatever it costs is the payment that's given out.
Well,
is that right?
It's actually, I believe, at the FY15 funding level. Mm-hmm. But certainly greater than what was happening at that moment when the veto pen hit the paper, right?
Right.
And everything else was struck. And actually, there have been a series of actions that were taken over the protracted. We were in continuous session, remember?
Right.
And so in March of 15, we took a 2.25% reduction across the board in our budget, and the governor signed a bill that essentially provided child care service funding once that was negotiated and gave money to other state agencies. A lot of this money was also pass-through money. It was federal dollars that, because he rejected the rest of the bill, he did not have, none of these agencies had appropriations authority.
Right.
So how do you
move forward if there's no?
Well, and
consent decree.
And although this is very unique in my experience, because typically you craft a budget with all the caucuses in the governor's office, you adjourn on May 31st, and there's predictability for providers, for schools.
And has this happened in the past where it's been, I mean, to this level, but nothing at this.
This is really more like what you see in the federal government where there is.
Right,
like
years without a budget, correct?
Well, the last 6 years, the federal government hasn't had a budget.
Continue appropriations. They do a continuing resolutions and continuing appropriations. You know those emails you get at 11:42 at night that say Congress just passed a bill that averted a government shutdown?
Right.
Well, I'm getting the sense that this is how the governor thinks this
just
is
shut it all down.
This is the new normal for us.
I hope it's not the new normal.
And that's what somebody asked me. Is this a new normal? That's one of the posts that I got.
And with all due respect to the representative, but I think when you look back, I believe that the year was 2004. You know what our budget was then?
Hmm.
$21 billion.
And now it's about 44?
Well, if this budget had passed that fell in the Senate, it was $40 billion.
Okay.
That's $19 billion in 16 years. Of new spending, pension, debt obligations.
Is that what accounts for a bulk of it?
Because
that was money that was not invested and was not, it was kind of always, we'll just use this kind of as a credit card and pay our bills now and worry about the pensions later.
And I also believe
happened before I got to the General Assembly.
Right. So we
know what happened.
Okay, I have to take a quick break. And one of the things that I want to ask though is that if the budget's out of whack, you know, if that number continues to grow, what does that mean going forward if we don't have a budget? And just, you know, a couple of questions about, you know, what happens to all of these services if we continue to run without a budget? Is the governor's goal? Some people think the governor's goal is to put a lot of these people out of business. That like literally they think
that's what people think.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Dan, please hold on. We've got to take a break and then go to the news. And I'll give you something for your trouble, I promise. More after this on 720 WGN. That sounded weird. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And we are in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is one of our favorite co-hosts, Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net and follow him on Twitter at Elliot Serrano, two L's, two T's, two R's, and all that stuff. Did I get all the letters?
You got it.
All right. We also have in studio with us for our very first Budget Crisis Corner. I'm hoping that it doesn't last that long, but all evidence points to it being forever and ever and ever.
Oh, this one's going to last a while.
It's going to last a while. Not this session of it.
I'm an optimist.
Are you an optimist?
I'm literally a member of the Optimist International.
Seriously. Representative Feigenholz, are you? No.
It can't.
It can't last forever?
No.
Yeah, but people told me last year that you guys wouldn't go past the July 1st deadline because schools had to open, and then you blew right past that. We have on the line with us, Dan, you held on so long. I have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's, just so you know, for your troubles.
Thanks, Betty.
You're welcome. What do you want to tell
Betty,
us?
Yes. Thanks for having me on your show. I just kind of want to preface my question that, you know, I've been taught at a very young age that if you want something, you save up for it and you buy it.
Okay.
And you don't buy it on credit, you just pay for it. So my house, my cars, you know, we saved up the money and we bought it. So I'm interested in knowing if they do have this budget, the two representatives there, what is the budget? How much?
Well, I think that was before the break. We mentioned that before the news, about $40 billion.
Well, that was an introduced
bill. Yeah, I get
bill.
That, but yeah. What was their budget?
Oh, what was your...
What would they want to spend?
What would you... Oh, interesting. What would you want to spend? I don't know. What do you cut?
Well,
that's one of the questions I had.
I think the first step is the COGFA estimate, which hasn't been done this...
Do what for estimate?
COGFA estimate. No, normally that's by statute.
Stay close to your microphone.
Normally Thank by statute, so. COGFA has to do a estimate about how much revenue is coming into the coffers.
Okay.
And how much we can spend. I believe last fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 17, we have not received that estimate.
And who is that from?
There's Representative Keith Wheeler, who gets up on the floor every time an appropriation bill is done, and he asks for that estimate. I believe the number this year was for fiscal year 17 was $33 billion that we had to spend. In fiscal year 16, I believe it was $32.5 billion. Am I correct in those numbers?
Sounds correct.
Yeah. So that's the number that we have to spend.
You have to, absolutely, to make sure that we have roads, we have first responders.
That's what's coming into the coffers.
That's what's coming
that's
in.
That's revenue. What we're collecting.
That's revenue.
Revenue that we're collecting.
So that's the $7 billion out of whack.
Yeah.
Correct. That's where we get that number.
Correct.
Does that help, Dan?
That is what we have, that's the revenue that comes into the state.
Okay.
That we can appropriate.
But why would you actually spend all the money you get? Because that's not what the citizens do.
Well, but citizens are we also try to save money for our retirement. Government, from what I understand, isn't supposed to work operate at a profit. I mean, do you mean like save the money for next year's budget? Or?
No. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not really saying it's a profit. But if it's obvious that the state's overspending, and that's the problem, because they keep on taxing us for everything.
Well, Dan, if you heard me, I told you in 2004 we had a budget of $21 billion. And as I told you, the COGFA estimate for last year was $33 billion, but I believe the budget introduced was $35.5 billion.
For necessary.
For fiscal year.
Right, for what needs to be spent.
Correct. And that's, I mean, we have what, $8 billion in unpaid bills?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we don't have the capacity for saving money in the way when people always say that, you know, we don't spend money we don't have. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is the thing to me, Dan, that I've been trying to struggle with this week is we all are living in a state where we agree that we would like to have clean water. We want to have safe roads. If our house is on fire, we want the fire department to show up. If we're in danger, we want to be able to call the police department. And we're struggling with how do we pay for all of that and take care of our most vulnerable and do all the things that it means to be a citizen. And we often don't pick up the responsibilities of whether it's voting or volunteering in our community. And there's so many things that we can do, and we demand so much of our government. I'm trying to find the balance of being frustrated and angry and also trying to figure out what can we also do.
But to Dan's point, that's the reason why.
I think the key is that we have to sacrifice things to lower that budget.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point, Dan. Dan, what would you sacrifice?
What would I sacrifice?
What would you like to see cut? Where would you like to see cuts made? Honestly, I mean, I've been thinking about this too.
The point of the representative from Wrigleyville that she loves the town, she loves the state. I think the general populace can't wait to leave the state, but they can't. They're forced to stay here because of their real estate. It's devalued. I can't leave. There's no way I could leave.
I wish you could see me I'm smiling because whenever we always laugh when a politician doesn't answer a question. And you just answered a different question about you answered the question, do you want to leave, but can you? I asked, what would you cut? What would you like to see cut?
You know,
curious. Yeah, that's all.
You know what?
Let me answer the question. We have to cut across the board.
Okay. There you go.
We have, Dan. I'm going to jump in here. You know, John Anthony went all the way back to 2004. I'm going to go back to the recession, where any portfolio, whether it's, a lot of our investments suffered dramatically. We had a tragic event happen to our country, 9/11, which also just completely rattled all of us, including the economy. We had a recovery, and then the recession hit around 2008, and our investments tanked. And since then, frankly, we took a very close look at what the cost drivers were in our state budget, and we passed some very, very painful cuts, Dan. We cut Medicaid $1.5 billion.
And that was with the SMART Act.
The SMART Act. Yeah. And that was, by the way, a bipartisan measure. I worked with
Representative Belloc.
Patty Belloc, Dale Ryder.
And I wasn't there. So.
Yeah, it was a very painful experience, but we did it nonetheless. And then we tackled the biggest issue of all, which was pension reform. There was a lot of debate about whether or not it was constitutional and how we were going to wrestle this beast to the ground. And we passed a very, very painful pension reform bill and waited. And we also cut our health care benefits. And the courts returned those health care benefits to the General Assembly and said, sorry, you can't cut that. You are diminishing what was promised, and the Constitution prohibits that. And the same thing with the pension bill. Simultaneously, we dropped our income tax in January of 15 from 5% back down. And until then, we were actually with the SMART Act and other cuts and across the board cuts in human services and not really, you know, Medicaid grows 6% every year, just costs of services, costs of supplies. We were able to keep things flat, to keep that 6% down to 2%. So we were being careful. We were being austere, and we were paying our bills. We were paying down all our bills. We were down to a 30-day payment cycle in the state. So I just want you to know that it's not like we're, you know.
And when did the strife start with not being able to pass a budget then? When did you stop having a 30-day pay cycle?
Well, we still have a 30-day payment cycle. I mean, for some providers, we do.
Right.
Because we don't roll our liability. It's just taking us a longer time to pay. It does take a much longer time to pay our providers.
Backlog of bills. Right. I really believe the system and structure of the comptroller's office needs to be changed. And I think that's one of the things that Leslie Munger, Comptroller Munger, is trying to do.
Yes.
She wants to update it and bring it to the 21st century. And I'm 100% behind bringing that, because I believe she said there's over 800 accounts that she has to pay out from. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we have a lot of special funds.
That has to change.
We do. We have a lot of special funds.
And Dan's question, and he mentioned making sacrifices and making cuts. Is there an acceptable cut? What do you see as a feasible amount of money to cut from the budget? Because, I mean, this is what my understanding is, that the budget is the statement of this is what's important in the state of Illinois. This is what we have decided.
I don't think it's just cuts, but I also think this is where I agree with the governor. There are some reforms that have to be done. I think when you look at work comp reform, work comp is, I mean, I know the, although there were some fixes, but was it 2011?
She's breathing very calmly. Yes.
Whenever the fixes were, but it's broken. I'm somebody that went through a work comp case. It's broken. It simply doesn't work.
Let me take Jay's question before his comment before we go to a break. Hi, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. What was your thought about cuts?
Yeah, to be honest, if I was to cut anything, take from the affluent, take from the rich. So,
well, Jay, when that was on the ballot during the governor's race, did you vote yes to a millionaire's tax? Do you remember? It was on the ballot. Because most Illinoisans did, by over 70%, almost by about the same amount that the governor won. But twice now, that bill has come on the floor and has failed both times. And most of that money was supposed to go toward education.
But so, that's why you had 3,000 people who had $1 million in asset leave the city of Chicago. I just read this article today.
They left.
It was a Tribune article.
But we didn't. They left because of the ballot.
Because
the bill didn't pass.
No. The uncertainties in the tax structure. I was reading the article from Tribune.
I think they just want to go somewhere warmer, Representative.
I would love to go somewhere warmer.
Jay, I think a lot of people agree. Because Jay, what are your thoughts on that? Because it does seem in other states that there is a higher tax rate for millionaires over $1 million.
I'll be honest, I would love to be the person to say that I was more informed than what I was, and I like to play it on the truth. I didn't know too much about it. I mean, I didn't vote. I should have.
Oh, do you think are you voting in this year's election for the presidential race and your local House of Representatives? Many of the senators are also up for election.
To be honest, I feel whoever you vote, whether it be Democrat or Republican, you're essentially voting for the same person.
Oh, interesting. Interesting, Jay. I hope that we can reinvigorate your interest in being a citizen. I mean, I really do. I think that that can start with even, you live in the city of Chicago?
I'm Lake County, but I think all of us, the working class, are just disenfranchised. I mean, he even said something that, like, a textbook definition for corruption. He said, somebody whispers in his ear to have a bill passed and he gets it done. It's virtually saying, yeah, dude, tell me what you need and I'll do it for you.
I think you're talking about negotiations and trying to figure, like, who's working with who and cooperation. Jay, I would really encourage you.
I know.
But I would encourage you to find out who your rep is and who your senator is and call their office, email them, check out their website. This is what I started doing, and not that I'm an answer. I think everyone's got their own path to figuring this out and feeling like you have some voice, and that's part of why we're having this show. Whether it's, you know, if there's a weeknight when you have a concern, you can email, you can text us, and we will try to figure out give me your hold on the line and let me figure out if we can find your rep for you. One moment after this, you're listening 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are all four of us, I believe, Elliot Serrano, Representative John Anthony, Representative Sarah Feigenholz, are all trying to find information for Jay to see who his legislators are. Do we have the information yet? Do we know?
It's coming.
All right. Hold on, Jay. Hold on the line. We're going to get you. We're going to get this information. All right. Hold on one second. Craig, how do I put him on? I know I always push the wrong buttons. Can you grab that for me? So I can put Ted on the line, too.
I can't fix it.
What did I do? Wait, I got it. Boom. I pushed the right button.
I got it.
Yes, you got it. Hold on. Here we go.
It's Representative Sam Yingling.
Sam Yingling?
Yes, that's his rep.
All right, so start there. Will you start with your representative, Jay? And
yeah,
if you go online, you can Google Sam Yingling and Representative Yingling and find his email address and phone number. And I think start there and let us know how it goes, okay? Keep in touch.
How do you spell that?
Yingling?
Y-I-N-G-L-I-N-G.
Yingling. Yingling.
Oh. And your state senator is, I believe, Melinda Bush.
Melinda Bush. I've met her as well. She's very nice. So those are people I think would listen to you. And the difference that I've learned is that our legislators, when they know a story, it's something they do keep in their minds. It does affect the way they make decisions. So please get in touch with them. Okay, Jay?
Definitely.
Thank you
so
much.
That's one of the reasons why I scour my district. I go, I'm everywhere because I want to hear what the people are feeling and how they think. You know,
it helps your own personal accountability, I think, too.
It really does.
Hey, Ted, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're pretty well. It's the Friday night. What do you want to ask?
My representative is one of them that got caught playing Candy Crush down there in the state legislature.
Who got caught? Who got busted? I heard about
that. That was Kate Clunan.
Oh, you're close by my district. I'm just north of her, the 95th, okay. The 75th.
Yeah. So, I'm not even going to get into that one, but I'm going to tell you, the gentleman that was talking before about how we feel disenfranchised, you know, another representative we had in our district was Corrine Gordon, and there was a deal that got set up where she ended up getting a pretty nice job after she got voted out of office and ended up voting against the will of the people. And granted, you know, it was her office to still be in, but you know, there was a tax increase that came across, which happens to be the one you guys were just talking about, was supposed to stay in.
Right.
You were wanting to stay in, and that was never how that was advertised. That thing was coming in to help get us by, and then we weren't. Then it was supposed to go away.
Right.
So somebody saying that, oh, well, we lost money there. No, it wasn't yours to have in the first place. That the whole deal with that was to get us to buy for a brief amount of time, and that was it. The fact that the legislator didn't get their books in order isn't a problem with the people, especially the people didn't want it in the first place.
I think the bigger issue was that that was done in a lame duck session when people were on their way out the door, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's an even bigger
issue.
That's
what happened. That's the Corrine Gordon shit.
That's actually the seat that I now occupy.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Got it.
Ted. Yeah. Oh, Ted. Got it. Wow. What was that? Ted like sounded like he knew something. Craig, do I need a break? More after this on 720. Thank you so much, Ted. We are Budget Crisis Corner.
Like taking a night off but sick and tired of overpriced movie theaters? Hate the idea of it costing you and your family over $50 every visit? Buffalo Grove Theater is the affordable solution. Brand new movies at affordable ticket and concession prices. Two worlds, one home. Discover your destiny as the action-adventure Warcraft hits the Buffalo Grove Theater on June 9th. Tickets on sale now at bgtheater.com or Fandango.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Ovation Cell Therapy. You've heard about Ovation all over the radio and seen it on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox TV. For thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier hair, Ovation Cell Therapy and the unconditional 100% money-back guarantee is the buzz everyone's talking about.
I started using Ovation because of the commercials I heard on the radio. I saw an improvement in my hair immediately. It was shiny and easy to manage, and I'm not seeing large amounts of hair in my brush after washing. Ovation is the best product I've found for my hair. I'll use it as long as you keep making it.
Stop the breakage caused from harsh chemicals and heat styling. Restore dry, brittle, and damaged hair to a softer, smoother, healthier, more beautiful appearance. Guaranteed.
Grow your hair thicker, stronger, and longer. Simply log on to ovationhair.com and click on WGN at checkout to receive a special introductory discount. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to select WGN at checkout for your special discount. ovationhair.com.
Who's got the best patio dining in Chicago this summer? We'll find out. And on our Mincing Rascals segment, the gang scores, two heavyweights battling it out. Hillary's speech versus Donald Trump's speech.
Your weekly check-in with King John today at 1.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. After the news, we'll take some of your calls and texts as we have been with our legislators, Representative Sarah Feigenholz and Representative John Anthony. We also have in studio with us Nikki Allen, and we have some wonderful music coming for you in just a little bit as well. Here with your news is Rob Martier.
It's overcast and 70 at O'Hare. Born Cassius Marcellus Clay, January 17, 1942, in Louisville, Kentucky, the man who became known as Muhammad Ali began boxing at the age of 12 after his new bicycle was stolen. He was a boxer, activist, antagonist, and humanitarian. Muhammad Ali has died at the age of 74.
I'm handsome, I'm fast, I'm pretty, and can't possibly be beat.
In a 1977 interview with WGN's Roy Leonard, Ali talked about why he called himself pretty.
I got that from Gorgeous George, the wrestler. He used to always come to town talking about how pretty he is, and I'll kill the bum, I'll kill him, and people come to see him get beat up. And I saw all those people come to see him get beat. I said, this is a good idea. So I started talking, but I'm not pretty. I'm not who, women are pretty. I'm handsome.
Hello?
Hello, Jimmy.
He's putting you on, Jimmy.
How are you doing, Jimmy?
Fine.
How old are you?
10.
Oh, do you know who you're talking to?
Yeah.
What's my name?
Muhammad Ali.
No, this is me here. That wasn't me. That was a girl. How you doing?
Fine.
Nice talking to you. You a good boy?
Yeah.
What are you going to be when you get big?
I don't know. Be a baseball player, maybe?
Good.
And as you just heard, the only thing more entertaining than Ali in the ring was Ali outside the ring. His turn of phrase was second to none, and his taunting of opponents legendary, especially when he was set to face Joe Frazier. Ali, again, in conversation with Roy Leonard, explained why he called opponents names and why he was so animated.
Calling the fighters various names like Liston the Bear, Floyd Patterson the Rabbit, and Foreman the Mummy, Frazier the Gorilla, Schaefer the Acorn. Sometimes it affects them, makes them angry. When they get angry, you can control them easily if you lose the cool. And the faces and things is just salesmanship, is just publicity. This is why they pay me higher than any athlete in the history of the world. And
according to a family spokesman, after his 32-year battle with Parkinson's disease, Muhammad Ali passed away after dealing with a respiratory issue that was complicated by his Parkinson's. The three-time world heavyweight champion boxer died this evening. Muhammad Ali's funeral will take place in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. Details on the funeral will be made at a press conference this morning in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll take a look at sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Free furnaces, free air conditioners.
What's this crazy talk from my husband, Dick Hochschild, owner of American Weathermakers?
I was just making the point, Elizabeth, that I hear so many ridiculous offers.
You're right. At American Weathermakers, we don't need misleading offers. We have the best service and honest pricing on the top furnace and air conditioner brands every day.
While other companies shout about low prices and free giveaways, American Weathermakers has quietly become the best heating and air conditioning value in Chicagoland.
And I love that customers trust our American Weathermakers 60-Minute Men to come to their rescue.
If your furnace or air conditioner breaks down day or night, we'll be there in 60 minutes or you get a free $60 gift card for repairs. And we never charge for travel or overtime.
You'll fall in love with American Weathermakers, too.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Call toll-free
855-955-HVAC.
Or visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com.
Hi, it's Steve Cochran for Siding One Windows, One Windows. I had them put in my home a winter ago, and I got to tell you, second winter in a row where I'm nice and warm all winter long, and last summer I was cool when I needed to be cool. That's just the quality work that Siding One Windows, One does. One of the greatest things about them was they cleaned up after themselves. You could barely tell that they were there. Right now, get great spring pricings, get a quote, and find out what I found out. It's siding-one.com for me, 800-929-9275.
9-2-9-9-2-7-5. WGN Sports. Cubs baseball yesterday afternoon at Wrigley Field. They go on to beat the Diamondbacks 6-0 and improved 38-15 on the season. 21-7 at Wrigley Field this year. In Detroit, things didn't go well for the White Sox. Tigers 10, White Sox 3. Let's take a look at the traffic situation right now with Roger Badish.
And for the most part, traffic moving along at posted speeds on your area expressways, tollways, and highways. Got some slight delays on Lakeshore Drive southbound between Balboa and Marquette, taking you about 19 minutes. And on the return trip from Marquette all the way to Hollywood's 23-minute trip. And checking the other area expressways, tollways, and highways, nothing significant going on. We do have a couple of accidents on the inbound Dan Ryan near 79th Street, an accident's blocking the two lanes, and also near exit 53C on the Dan Ryan Expressway. The accident is blocking the ramp there, so you will have to find another way to get off of the Dan Ryan. Also, overnight road construction is blocking several lanes on several of the roadways. Again, we're not seeing that construction is causing any delays on the roads right now, so things looking pretty good. But again, be careful throughout the construction zones. Roger Badish, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center: overnight, mostly cloudy and mild. Chance of an isolated shower, a low of 60. Later today, a mix of sun and clouds, warm, moderately humid, scattered showers and thunderstorms, a high of 80. Sunday, sun to start off the day, then turning cloudy, breezy, cooler, a chance of a few sprinkles, a high of 72. And Monday, partly cloudy, windy, seasonably cool, an afternoon shower possible, a high of 74. Right now at O'Hare, it is 70, midway 75, Calumet City 69, 64 at Chicago's lakefront. The barometer is falling. Next news at 12:30 with Roger Badish, or when news breaks, and at WGNradio.com. I'm Rob Martier on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.